was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I'm wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. Not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. I wanna go to church. I wanna go to church. Oh, more than an obligation, it's our foundation, the family of God. I know it's hard, like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Yeah, I wanna go to church.
Well, all right. Hello from Alaska. I am part of the Alaskan mission team. We went up and just want to take a few moments and give you guys an update. First off, thank you for your prayers. It was a long trip. Alaska is a beautiful state. Anybody ever been to Alaska by show of hands? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a gorgeous place. In fact, it's probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. But it is a dark, very dark spiritual state. it's unbelievable. I was talking to a local pastor there in Anchorage, and he said 90% of the folks there in that area are agnostic. It's the most unchurched state in the nation. Poverty is unreal. It's unbelievable in the inner cities. Lizilla Baptist Church partners with an organization called GraceWorks, and they're based out of Anchorage, Alaska there. GraceWorks provides 10 weeks of vacation Bible school inside the inner city parks in Alaska there. So we had our own park, our team of 10, which was led by Peggy Phillips. She did a great job, so if you see her, give her a big hug from us. But she led our missions team. And so there were 10 of us that every day we would go into a park, our park. And what was really interesting to see is the kids, some of the kids who have been there year after year, as we've been going now for I think 5 or 6 years, the relationships they have with our team from Lizilla Baptist Church, and to see their faces as we got there. But we would do vacation Bible school there. We do Bible stories. We would feed them lunch. In fact, for most of the children that came, that would be the only meal they would have that day. We're talking 3- and 4-year-olds walking the streets by themselves because their parents are high on drugs or alcohol. Poverty, You think about the poverty that you see in middle Georgia, and you multiply that by 50 to 100. And that's what it is in Anchorage, Alaska. In America, we have people who have never heard the gospel. And we had the opportunity to share with them. It was phenomenal. You could share the gospel. We played basketball. We played wiffle ball. We did all kinds of things. In fact, on Thursday, we actually had a baptismal service right there in the park. We had one of the kids had come to know Christ, and he was baptized there, which was phenomenal, absolutely awesome. And you don't get to see that. Here's what we learned, at least my family did, we learned on the trip was, you know, we talk about missions and we want to see results. We want to see everything like that, right? That's how I am. We go home, I'm going to leave here, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to walk in my house, I'm going to flip a light switch. And what's going to happen when I flip that light switch? The lights are going to come on. I expect results. And what we learned on the mission trip was, you don't always see the result, right? Oftentimes, we're just plowing ground. We're just plowing. And then some of us get to plant the seed. And then others get to reap the harvest. And we just so happened to be there and see the harvest come to fruition. But teams had gone all summer plowing and planting seeds for that individual to get saved. It was neat. Great experience. Lots of sharing the gospel. Lots of things that happened. But I tell you what it took for us to do it. You know, our family of four went on a mission trip. We had never done that before. And we were going into a place that we knew was going to be a little different than what we're used to. I'll go ahead and tell you, the inner city of Alaska ain't Lysella, Georgia. It don't look like Lysella. The people there don't look like Lysellians. I just made that word up. Right? So they're different. They're different folks. And it took us getting out of our comfort zone. Y'all know what that is? A comfort zone? Our comfort zone is where we limit our commitment. We don't have to have a lot of commitment in our comfort zone. We can just kind of hang out, right? John Maxwell said this, if we're growing, we are always going to be outside our comfort zone. If we're growing, we're always going to be outside of our comfort zone. When we are too comfortable, we are less likely to move. Here's what we learned on this trip. We learned that God's plan always, 100% of the time, requires movement. Always. God's plan always requires movement. So we want to thank you all for praying for us, for supporting us, for commissioning us out. I encourage you, if the Lord lays it on your heart to serve in missions, Alaska is a great place to do that. Pastor Rick's going to come and he's going to share about Peru and he's going to share his heart. Lysella Baptist Church is a church on mission. We want to share the gospel here, there, and everywhere. Pastor.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate. Now it's on. You turn me back down now. When they don't hear me, they keep turning it up a little bit more. So appreciate you and appreciate the team and the sacrifices you guys made as you went about serving and doing Alaska. So before I forget, because I've forgotten the first service, let me thank Tony and Jeremy and Jen and Steve and Sherry and all those that made the slides and the audios and everything like that work. I appreciate you guys using your talents and gifts to help us as we try to share this message. So thanks a lot. Like Tommy said, we had a chance to go to Alaska. We had a chance to go to Peru. Missions is everywhere. It's in your house. It's at your work. It's in the States. It's that's why God said to the uttermost parts of the world. It's everywhere. So I get the chance to share a little bit with you about what we did in Peru, and then I'm going to transition that into a message for you this morning that I hope will both encourage and challenge us as we go about doing missions in our everyday life. New Life Children's Home is where we serve when we go to Peru. Lysella Baptist Church has been doing that for a number of years. Many of you have been there. It's an amazing place. It was my first time visiting there. I got a chance to meet Mike and Shalina Kennedy. They have four children. So Mike and Shalina, they were married in 1996. They spent the entire year of 1997 going to language school and preparing for the mission field. And then in 1998, they went to Peru and planted their first church in Senegia. They started New Life Baptist Church later in 2002 and then went on to plant three other churches and support a number of pastors throughout Peru. They purchased a piece of land in 2003 in hopes to start a children's home there. What you don't understand is in Peru is a Catholic state. So everything that the government of Peru wants, they want everything to go through the Catholic Church if they're going to do anything religious. That presents a problem. So Mike had to come up with a creative way to start a home where he would share the gospel and teach Christian values. So the only children he could take in was abandoned children. So he has a home, not for orphans, not for like a normal home you would go in other places. This is for abandoned children that he established. They've taken in a number of children through the years. They average about 30 children at any one time. They went on to start a pastor's conference because there's a lot of pastors there that need support and a lot of lay teachers that need support. They have an annual pastor's meeting that hosts about 300 to 500 pastors that travel hours upon hours to get there. They do a youth camp. They have about 300 national teenagers that come into that youth camp. They started a Christian school there in Senegia. It has 170 students that they minister to and they use for outreach in the community. Since they started the home, they've adopted out 114 children. 114 children. That's phenomenal. Over the last few months, they've taken in 9 new children into the home, ranging from the ages of 2 to 12. But the thing that I want to share with you is how evangelistic and how much the outreach is in this ministry. It's amazing to me how he can focus so much on reaching the lost for Christ while serving them at the same time in his home and doing the things he does. So if you will pull up the slides that I have, I want to walk through a couple pictures as I talk about this. So when we got ready to go over, this is something new for Mike. Mike had contacted me just before we left, and he said, "Hey, Rick, man, with your military background, I got this really cool thing." How many of you know Mike Kennedy? Mike Kennedy is like the epitome of spirit-led. I mean, I don't know. You know, I told him, I said, "Hey, Mike, look, dude, I know you're spirit-led, but I need a plan." So he developed a plan. We didn't go by it, but he developed a plan. He was like, "All right, cool, man, I got you a plan." So at least I kind of knew where we were going each day. So he told me on the first day, we got there on a Friday evening, Saturday morning, he said, "Hey, man, I met this colonel. He had opened a door for me to go to military bases and speak to active duty military people throughout Peru." He said, "We're going to our first one tomorrow morning. We're going to meet up with a bunch of military police and army. They're cavalry, horse police, and we're going to get a chance to go and share with them." So we go, and they're anxious. They're kind of like, "Why are y'all here?" They think they're supposed to show us what they do, and, you know, there's a little give and take there. But anyways, in this picture, you see Mike and I, the rest of the team's right behind us, but we're standing at what we call guard mount. That's where you go before you post out and do your duties for the day. So in the middle of their guard mount, their prep for the day, we get the chance to outright boldly share the gospel. I don't mean like, "Hey, innuendos," and like, "Hey, you know, do y'all go to church?" No, I'm talking about, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? Do you want to know for sure that you can go to heaven? Remember, I told you, Peru is a Catholic state. They know a lot about religion. They know very little about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear that as I go through these stories. 80% of those men raised their hand and said, "I prayed the sinner's prayer with you when you prayed it just a minute ago." 80% of them. Phenomenal. To your right. So while we're there, a school shows up on a field trip. A Catholic school comes. They're on a field trip to come and check out some things that are going on in the military. Of course, knowing Mike Holman, And I jumped right in with him because I'm the same way. We're like, hey, what are they doing? What's going on? Can we talk to them? By this time, we had been there for a couple hours. We built a great relationship with the leader there. He goes, yeah, come on, you can share with them. So we go over. Mike gets up there. We start talking. We start handing out tracts. We started handing out Bibles. They have these John Romans Bibles. It's the book of John, book of Romans in Spanish. And we start handing them out, and we share the gospel. A large number of these kids pray to receive Christ. They have a religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Next slide. Here you see, and we went to a few of the churches that they've planted. This is Pastor Jorge here. Pastor David, you'll see him in another picture later. But the point I wanted to make here was point out a couple of our youth giving testimonies at the church while we're there. On the left is Olivia Moore. And then on the right is obviously Isaiah Sandifer, famous kid here, you know, on the front row all the time. So he's like, shush, man, don't point me out. But both of them are giving their testimonies. And I'm going to tell you, Olivia is definitely afraid. Olivia feels like I feel right before I'm preaching, right? You know, your stomach's upset. You're kind of like, oh, man, I think I got this together. I don't know, you know, maybe, I don't know. But she is definitely afraid, but she does a phenomenal job. What Olivia doesn't know is she shares her testimony about her family, and you guys know that her mother has gone through a tremendous bout with cancer, and she talked about how it created doubt in her and the things that she would have to overcome. There was a young lady in this church, in this congregation, that was going through the same thing. They got to link up after the service. Next slide. This is a school on the third day. This is Monday. We get to go to a large school. There's probably 500 students, I'm guessing, here. So they told me we're going to do a soup kitchen. So I got up that morning, and we were preparing food, and I'm looking for soup, right? I'm thinking chicken noodle, broth, you know. No, it's not soup. It's fried rice. So anyways, I talked to Mike about that and said, listen, man, I'm a black and white guy. If we're doing soup, you need to tell me soup. If we're doing chicken fried rice, we're doing chicken fried rice. Whole different story. But anyways, we get a chance and we get to come and feed them physically and spiritually. Again, where can you go in the world where you get the chance to stand in a public school and proclaim the gospel? And I mean just lay it on the line. I'm talking break out the Bible, give them the passages. How many of you want to pray to receive Christ right now? Right? That's what's going on. So we get the chance and we go through this and then they get to eat. We give them some tracts. We give them some Bibles. And then they get to go home full and spiritually and physically. Next slide. So this is, I should have told him next slide. This is a little video portion of that as they're going through the line and we're serving them. You've seen some of it in the music video as we was going through. Next slide. So this is one of the other things we would do is go hand out tracts. I'm talking hundreds, thousands of tracts. What you see is these are two markets, two distinctly different places. This is Gamara on the right. And then this is a village just south of Lima, which is a rural village that we're in on the left. Notice the guy in the hoodie with the USA kind of thing on. He's Peruvian. We gave him the shirt probably, I don't know, one of you guys probably gave him the shirt 4 years ago. But anyways, he's got a track. I wish you could see a little closer. He's got a Spanish track that has the gospel on it. Here's what you need to understand. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced. We would go hand out these tracks. And then we're walking back to the bus, and normally, you know, you do that kind of thing. You see them laying on the ground in a trash can. No, they're sitting there reading them. They're reading them. In one particular situation, when we was at Green Door, which is another little market area, we had a man that had found out we were there handing out tracts. Obviously, he knew we was there before. He come up and he says, hey, do you have any Bibles left, any of the John Romans Bibles? And we were out. We searched the bus, every backpack. We looked everywhere. And he literally began to weep because we didn't have one of those Bibles. They are hungry for the gospel. God is working and opening doors like crazy. And I would tell you, wherever God's working, that's where we need to be working, right? Next slide. So this is, hit next slide. This is
Brandon. I don't have a purpose, so Lord, I cry. First and foremost, my fears, because I don't want to die from the pain in my tears. I'm sitting in the ocean, the water's too deep. These waves are crashing down and the current's pulling me. Only your love can
Next slide.
Rescue me.
So what you see going on, that's Brandon Brown. He's a youth pastor at another church. He had connected with us early on, went through preparation. He goes with our team over there. He does a lot of writing. He's very gifted, very creative, has his own style of worship music. But this is what I love about Mike Kennedy again. Mike takes and he's always listening to everyone around him, right? And he's listening to what your gifts are, and he hears people talking about. One day we're on the bus, and Mike hears Brandon and Chris talking about this song he wrote, and they're playing a little clip on it. Mike puts that in his category, right? He puts it in his little library of thoughts. We get to a prison. Now, mind you, the night before, we were supposed to go to a, no kidding, prison. Someone tried to break out of that prison. They put it on a lockdown. They shut it down. We couldn't go to it. As God would have it, God said, somebody called Mike. Mike was trying to figure out where we could go, and the guy called. He said, hey, man, I got this other place you can go. Court-appointed detention center for addicts, right? It's basically jail, but you're going through rehab. We go there. Mike's looking out. He's, you know, starting a conversation. He just looks over at Brandon, man, on the fly, and he goes, Brandon, come up and give a testimony and let us hear your song. Now, I don't know about you, but a cappella, on the fly, they'd probably had to clean my chair out. I'm just going to tell you straight right there. It's like, do what? He goes up there and nails it. These guys are touched. They relate it. I wish you could hear all the lyrics to the song. It fit perfect, perfect. A number of them. Next slide. That slide. Go back one. That slide, that's how many of them prayed to receive Christ after he gave his testimony and he sang that song. Next slide. This is, we went up into the hills and we were going to do another project. By the way, you guys fund all this through your donations, through the pit. Some of you give straight donations to missions. We go, and this lady is living with her two daughters in an 8x12 plywood hut. We doubled the square footage of her home. We took another 8x12 plywood shanty up there and put it together. That's what you see going on. On the left-hand side, you see Mike Holman. This lady in the yellow and the lady in the kind of jacket, the kind of mauve-looking jacket, they were the neighbors. They come outside to see what was going on. Of course, Mike Holman, anybody knows him, he's Johnny on the spot. Boom. Hey, this is what's going on. Let me share the gospel with you. He shares the gospel with them. They pray to receive Christ. The lady in the jacket, she goes about an hour and a half walk to make it to a Bible study that night that one of our churches is leading in that particular town. Next slide. This is Beth, and I wish I had a picture of Rich and Beth and Lisa and Neil. They were all out there working so hard. You guys know Beth, very talented, very gifted. She has gone to Peru, and she's, I don't know how many times you've painted these walls. I know at least twice, maybe more. I know of twice. But they were getting really bad, and they were peeling, so Mike had them all whitewashed. And Beth and Rich show up there with an intention of getting scripture painted back on these walls, making this place a nice place and a place where God speaks constantly to these children. She was definitely afraid they were not going to get it done before we had to leave, because that's happened to her before. So she had Rich out there at all hours of the morning. He was crying and belly aching and carrying on. And he's like, I'm tired. She's like, let's go. Not really. He was right beside her, but it's a better story my way, though. But they were out there. I mean, you see, they got lights out there. They made it. They got it all done before we left. It was awesome, and the kids love it. Next slide. This is a cool story that I just personally want to share with you. So we're getting ready to leave. You can't see it because it was cool that day, but underneath our jackets is those blue shirts we wore home. So we're getting ready to leave, and I'm looking. I want to get Lynn a nice gift because I love her so much, and she's so precious, and I just couldn't go home without something. That's not going to get me anything. But for real, I really want to get something nice. I wanted something local, so I was trying to get one of what's that animal? Say it loud. Alpaca. An alpaca blanket. That's what you're supposed to get when you go to Peru. So I'm trying to find one, so I go all over the place. We went to a couple different shops. No good. We go to this one. So we finally talk and we get a good price, and I'm going to buy this thing. And this lady, when I'm done buying it, she hands me a small change purse and she says, un regalo. It means free gift. That's the way I say it. I don't know, you know, whoever speaks Spanish, you just have to stick with me. Every time we hand out these tracts, that's what we say, un regalo, and you hand out free gift, and they take these tracts. So here she is, she's handing me the free, and I'm like, no, this is not happening. So I'm like, no, un regalo, and I hand her a tract, and we start to share the gospel with her, and we start talking about heaven and hell, and she starts talking about she works hard, she attends church, she serves in her church, great Catholic-based, work-based answers to a religion. We shared the gospel, and I mean, she would take it and open it and read it, and you would see lights just start flicking on. She said, it's faith. It's by grace through faith. It's not works. I said, exactly. She prayed to receive Christ right there at that moment, as we're getting ready to get on the plane to head out the door. Mike and I led the ice cream guy to Christ. We stopped, the bus got off, we're going to buy ice creams for everybody on the bus. I'm like, Mike, man, we got to share the gospel with this guy. He said, all right, let's do it. Bam, do praise, receive Christ right there. I'm telling you, God is working in the middle of this place. Next slide. This is my favorite moment of the trip. Everybody's got a favorite. This is my favorite. This is Erin Wallace. She goes to early service. A lot of times she goes to Sunday school with her mom and dad in here. I told all the team, I said, listen, you will absolutely be used on this trip. Like Tommy talked about, you got to move to be used by God. And I told them all, I said, listen, you're going to be used. And I warned them, I said, listen, be ready to give your testimony. Fair warning. The night before we're headed to this in-residence rehab center, now this one for women, this part of it was for women, I told Erin, I said, tomorrow, you're giving your testimony. You would have thought I hit her with 100 million volts of electricity. She's like, what? No, I can't do this. Oh, man. She was distraught. I mean, tears pouring down her face. She called her mother, and she said, I hate this trip. I hate this place. I hate Mr. Rick. She didn't actually say, I hate Mr. Rick, but I think she meant it. She was just like, I'm done. I'm never doing this again. A couple things I love about her story. Rachel Sandifer comes alongside her and says, look, it's okay. We can do this. Let me help you. They walk through I got to make the story a little quicker. It's a phenomenal story. Slide. I don't think the video works on this one. But she goes on to give her testimony, powerful testimony. A number of these women are in their seats, and they're just like, you know, they're kind of piddling at her, and they start listening, and they're like, yeah, exactly. Number of them pray to receive Christ. One of them comes up and said, I want to talk, and she shares her testimony. It aligns great with Aaron's, and God blessed her in a powerful way as she stepped out in faith to share her story and to share what God was doing in her life. Here's what I want you to know about that story. It almost didn't happen. It almost did not happen. Fear nearly paralyzed her to the point that, now I don't know, God would have used somebody else, probably, but fear nearly paralyzed her to the point that she missed the blessing of being involved with what God was doing in that place. That happened somewhere else. Jesus actually gives us a parable of it. In Matthew 25 is the story of the parable of the talents. If you remember, the parable goes that a master gave to three servants. He gave one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. And he said, I'm going away. And he come back and he asked the one he gave 5. He said, what did you do? He said, I turned it into 10. Here you go. He said, well done. He asked the one that he gave 2. He said, what'd you do? He said, I turned it into 4. He said, well done. He asked the one who he gave 1, what did he do? And he said, I was afraid and I hid it. Matthew 25, 24, 28 says this. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered seed where I did not plant, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. This man produced nothing. He was said that he was wicked and slothful. His blessing was given to another man that was willing to work. I wonder how many of us miss the great blessings of God because we refuse to use our gifts for his glory. How many of us are paralyzed by fear to the point that we won't take a step of faith and allow God to encourage us? Olivia, Aaron, Brandon, Rachel, I can name a bunch of people on this team. Me, people don't understand. They say, Rick, you do a great job preaching. You're not scared. 7 people said that to me this morning. I'm scared to death up here. I'd just as soon be sitting right there listening to Chris. I remember the first time I was ever asked to preach. I don't want to get too gross with you, but I'll just tell you, I spent a lot of time in the bathroom that day. I'm scared to death. When I started pastoring a little church in Elam Baptist Community Church in Quitman, Georgia, my poor wife would have to drive us to church every morning. My stomach would be so upset, and I'd probably wrecked on the way. We would stop by the same Burger King every Sunday morning so I could get a fountain Coke, hoping it would settle my stomach. It wasn't until I took the first step of faith from the front pew to the podium that I ever felt comfortable. God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. But you got to take a step of faith. Every one of us has been given a gift. He wants to bless you in using that gift. And this is not a new thing. This is exactly what Paul told Timothy, the young pastor, in 2 Timothy 1:6-8. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up, or to fan, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. You see, Timothy had seen Paul being persecuted for his faith, and he started to draw back. He started to second guess. He started to get discouraged, maybe. Whatever it was, he started to walk away from his giftedness in preaching the word. And as he drew back, Paul was like, don't you do it. You weren't given a spirit of fear. You were given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And he reminds him that you have to fan the flames of your gift. Here's what you need to understand. No matter what talent you have, Michael Jordan didn't wake up one day and play basketball the way he plays. People that do things with great talent, they don't just happen. They fan the flame. I could use the same old analogy, you know, the workout analogy everybody talks about. You just don't wake up one day with muscles, and if you do, they atrophy. They don't grow. They only grow when you work them out, when you fan them, when you get the flame burning inside of you. And it's the same thing for your talent. Just this morning, God gives me yet another example. I had no idea was going to happen. Where's PJ? PJ comes up here, and she was singing this morning. She was scared to death. I walked up to her in between services. I said, you were scared to death. She said, why, did it show? I said, no, because I know what you feel. I know that's one of the very first times you've ever been up here. I know what it feels like to step out in faith. When somebody else says, come do this, you'll be good at it. Really? Because I don't think so. And then I see Dale over here singing, right? Where's Dale at? A phenomenal job. Let me tell you a secret. The first time Dale got up here, she felt just like PJ. What happened was Dale took a step of faith and came up and sang. And she took another step And she took another step. And God blessed it and blessed it and blessed it. And it grew and it grew and it grew. Till she had the muscular faith to walk up here and belt it out with power. You can sit in that chair all day. You can hide. Guess what ain't going to grow? Your faith. You got to step out in faith. Let me give you a couple of examples, ways you can do that. They're very clear right here in the scripture. You can rely on the power of God. Jesus said, you shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Acts 1:8. In 1 John 4:4, he says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And in Psalms 27:1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who in the world are we afraid of when we have the most powerful, all-knowing, almighty God saying, I'm with you when you go? If he gives you the gift, how in the world? He's not just going to throw you out there on your own. He's going with you. So we do it in his power. We do it in the spirit of love. Remember, we have the spirit of love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here's what you need to understand about that verse. That verse is not talking about my perfect love for God. That verse is talking about God's perfect love for me. And if God has perfect love for me, do you think he's going to leave me hanging when I take a step of faith and move out and do what he's called me to do? Absolutely not. When I seek God and I know he's calling me and I know he's giving me a gift and I walk in faith to do that, he's not going to leave me hanging. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Mike Holman was talking to us. It was interesting. The night after I told Erin she was giving a testimony and she was in pieces, Mike had a devotional the next morning and we met. And Mike gave a devotional about fear and about overcoming fear and going through these things. And I remember Mike saying this. He says, we have to let our love for the Lord and our love for them overcome our fear. Just this week, Chris is away. He had no idea what I was preaching on. He sends me a quote, a text from Chris Rell, and it says this. If a person were starving and I had bread, would I be too timid to share it? If I met a person who was thirsting to death and I had water to give him, would I be too shy to offer it to him? People need the Lord. Share him today. That's the truth. Hell is a real place. Real people are dying and going to hell. Let me challenge you. When you leave and you walk your walk to this week, I want you to look every person you come by as much as possible, look them in the eye, and I want you to say, Lord, are they going to heaven or hell? Lord, send me somebody I can tell about Jesus Christ so that they know they're going to heaven. Do you think people in Peru are the only ones that need a relationship with Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. What's going on in Peru can go on right now in Lizella, Georgia, if we'll be faithful to walk and not let fear cripple us. Lastly, he says we must have a sound mind. What does it mean to have a sound mind? It means disciplined in thought. It means intentional in thought. It means discerning of the Spirit. The ability to see things through the truth of Scripture. This is what Paul was talking to Timothy about in 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him unto this day. Paul says, Timothy, have a sound mind. Remember that the one who's called you to it can take you through it. And never forget it as you walk your walk. I love 70s music. My wife drives her crazy because I'm always playing it. If you come to my house and I'm doing yard work, you're going to hear 70s music. Not all of it's the best pure kind of stuff to listen to. I got you. I'll take counseling later. But here's a great quote from a 70s song, and I won't tell you the title or the author. You guys can figure it out. Times it happens that we live our lives in chains. So oftentimes it happens we live our lives in chains, and we never even know we have the keys. Oftentimes it happens we live our lives in chains, and we never even know we have the keys. There was a story of a Japanese man. He was a soldier in 1944. It was towards the end of the war, and he knew Japan was going to lose, and he was afraid, and he said, he goes into a cave in Guam, and he hides out. He only comes out at night to get food, and he goes right back into the cave. This goes on for 28 years. For 28 years, this soldier hid out in a cave because he was afraid because Japan was losing the war. By the time they found him, we're driving Toyotas and watching Sonys, Mr. Johnny. I mean, it's crazy. This man hid in fear for 28 years. He enslaved himself when all he had to do was come out and see it was all over. All he had to do was come and see that the victory was won. That's what we do. We lived enslaved. We lived in fear, not understanding that our Lord and Savior has already won the victory. All he wants us to do is go out and use those talents so he can bless us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this church. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for those that work diligently to provide the resources so that we can go out and do projects in Alaska, in Peru, and in this local community. I thank you, dear Lord, for the heart of outreach and ministry in this church. But Lord, I also know that we could do so much more. I know, dear Lord, that some of us are paralyzed by our fears. And I know that there's many of us that have gifts that you want us to use and you want to bless. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just unlock those chains, that you would set us free from the fear that may be holding us back, dear Lord. May we understand, dear Lord, that you want us to walk in faith. Give us the strength to take that first step of faith. Let us be like the man who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Dear Lord, may you bless us so we know you will never leave us nor forsake us, but that you will empower us and you will enable us to do what you call us to do. Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, how I pray they would come and accept you today and accept the victory you've won for us on the cross. And then, dear Lord, if there's one that's enslaved to any fear, I pray that they would come here this morning and lay it down at the foot of the cross and just give it to you so that you may provide them freedom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand and